Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
It is 8:50. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Chai FM. Roger Lilly is an energy analyst. He's joining us this morning to talk about Eskom's victory against NERSA. What does that mean for us? Roger, good morning. Thanks for being here once again. How are you doing?
Good morning, Howard, and welcome. Thank you for inviting me to your show this morning. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Excellent. Thank you. What does this mean, though? You know, we're not used to Eskom having any victories. You know, it makes us a bit uncomfortable.
Yes. Okay. Look, the situation is fairly simple. NERSA has a very complicated method of regulating the electricity price. It does this in two ways. So firstly, Eskom has to make a projection going forward and predict what its costs are likely to be to generate and supply electricity to the country for the forthcoming year. It then sends that figure to NERSA, and NERSA compares it to last year's tariff, looks at other factors like the inflation rate and so on, and either approves or rejects the claim. And it makes that judgment based on the amount of information that Eskom provides. So, you know, NERSA is only prepared to pass on the expenses that Eskom incurs to the public, which NERSA deems to be directly related to the generation and supply of electricity. So any wasteful expenditure or unnecessary expenditure is weeded out of the report that Eskom sends in. And that's why year after year after year we've seen this, where NERSA gives a smaller increase to Eskom than Eskom has been requesting.
Carry on.
Okay, I was just going to say, the complexity comes in that at the end of the year, Eskom then has the possibility of putting in a second claim for uncovered or unrecovered expenses. And so let's say that NERSA allows a 10% increase and Eskom at the end of the year can show that in fact it costs 12%, then they're able to claim the other 2% back. But what's happened is that NERSA says that this is such a complicated affair, such a complicated business, that they're trying to simplify the situation, and in simplifying the situation will therefore need much more information out of Eskom. Eskom claimed that they cannot provide that information in time in terms of NERSA's deadline, and therefore the utility would lose because it would not be able to increase its tariffs at all in the forthcoming year. And so the idea being that, NERSA must give Eskom far more time before changing the procedure. And so all the High Court has done really is told NERSA that the system that it's been using, the process or procedure that it's been using up until this point, must continue for this year. That's
so,
the background.
And so effectively, what does that mean? Does that remove the teeth of NERSA? Or was this NERSA just trying a different tactic and therefore a different tactic which didn't succeed?
No, I don't think so. I just think that NERSA is saying that the way that the procedure that's followed is complex, and always leads to this debate with Eskom in terms of Eskom claiming whatever claim, let's say, 20%, for example, as a figure, and then NERSA have a look at all the detail and trim out this, that, and the next thing, and then come out and say, okay, you can have 14% for argument's sake. So that's the sort of discussion. And then at the end of the year, they come back and say, okay, you didn't allow the 20%. You gave us 14%, but in fact, it cost us 17%. We're claiming another 3%. And then the argument starts again, and then maybe out of that 3%, they might get 2%. So it's a complex business that goes on and on and on. And NERSA simply wanted to make it far simpler and simply saying, listen, let us know exactly what your actual generating and supply costs are. Eskom must be more transparent in terms of weeding out its own unnecessary expenses. And that's very difficult to do because don't forget, you're working in advance. You're making predictions that you can't see what's going to happen in the future, and yet you're expected to give an accurate projection.
Has NERSA over the last number of years managed to keep the increases down? Have they been largely successful in your view?
Oh, yes, they have. They have. But Eskom claims that as a result of that, it is now in financial straits because, according to Eskom, electricity in South Africa is one of the cheapest in the world, and is not cost effective. So basically what's happened is that Eskom claimed that input costs have increased dramatically, and inflation and tariff increases have not matched it. So what's happened is that Eskom are becoming more and more indebted, and less and less financially viable. Now we know that part of the problem with that was the fact that they were paying excessively high prices for coal because they signed some rather foolish agreements with some of the miners back in the day under earlier CEOs. And as a result of that, their input costs were significantly higher than they should have been. And one of the big mistakes I think that was made, whether it was deliberate or not, I can't say, but certainly it was not wise, was the fact that they signed agreements where they had to take or pay, which meant that if they couldn't take the amount of coal that the mine was delivering, they had to pay for it anyway. So you can imagine that the actual cost or the average cost then of what they did take was significantly higher than it should have been, and certainly was higher than the contract price.
It's really a fascinating push and pull. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Roger Lilly, energy analyst, talking to us about Eskom's victory against NERSA. What does it mean for ordinary citizens? And Roger giving a very clear explanation as to why that in fact occurred. I also am fascinated by the fact that we are considered still to have a low electricity cost. It's 8:58. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.